Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And welcome everybody for coming in here. We're just going to get giving everybody a little minute to get in here before we start everything. So, get comfortable in your chairs. I'm going to tweet this out. Let everybody else know on Twitter that we're still here. I probably should tweet this out on Threads, right?
Yeah, both. Tag combo.
Yeah, I wish I could do a Threads on my desktop. They don't have a way to do that, I don't think.
Oh, not yet?
I don't think so. Try to understand it.
Usually when you think something should be there, they figure it out and they make it happen.
I'm surprised that we haven't had a major update or something that was recently, because you'd think so. In terms of, it sounds like Zuckerberg was poaching, or not poaching, but whatever he was doing with all the people who were getting fired from Twitter. I think he had been kind of hiring them or getting them internal information.
I heard about that.
A lawsuit, I suppose, but I wouldn't imagine coding for a Twitter is really that complicated. You know what I mean?
That was exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. But I guess, you know, there's some trade hacks that the people at Twitter know, but I agree with you.
I mean, I don't know about you, but Twitter has been it behaves so poorly now. And I can't even attach a GIF to a tweet half the time, and it's almost like I'm not starstruck. You know what my vocabulary is not great. I can't come up with words today, but I never know if it's going to go through or not. It's like, you know, you're before I hit tweet, because you'll see the progress kind of go halfway, and then it just sits there and it will never finish that GIF. And then other times it goes no problem. So I wish I could understand when or how or what, but. Anyhow, it looks like we're all in here. We're getting ready. So if you're ready to join us, Combo, should we just start the show off right?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Hey, sports fans. Coach Nick here, and welcome to the B-Ball Breakdown live show coming at you in the middle of summer. We got Combo back from Las Vegas, where he was watching the Summer League, and we're going to get some reporting from that with a man on the scene kind of stuff. So make sure to hear that. So Combo, as always, being joined today by him, and thanks so much for coming back and getting back on the live with us.
Anytime. Always great talking basketball with you, Coach Nick. Great times in Vegas. Glad to be back.
I have to imagine there was no fear that you were going to end up staying in Vegas after you got there for a couple of days, right?
No fear of that, but I feel like, you know, it's not a bad place to be, especially if it's only 3 or 4 days. I think, like, to do the 11-day thing is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I've done like 4, and I probably wanted to die by the end of that. So I hear you. I take it was really hot there.
It was really hot. But I did some walking outside. I thought that was pretty fun. I know a lot of people wouldn't do that, but I don't mind the heat too much. But it's definitely something that you will feel throughout the course of the day. The gym is always nice and cool, though, which is good.
That's right. All right. So we got to talk Wemby, I guess, is the first thing. Somebody was reporting that there was like a line from 3 a.m. For the second game to get a seat at Thomas and Mack. You don't think that was true. Is that right?
That's right. But maybe that's because I was in the building early. Could that be why I didn't see the line outside? So maybe there was. I didn't see one. I thought everybody who pretty much wanted to see could get one. But in general, Summer League was way more packed than ever before. Because you know there's usually always a lot of empty seats. And when Wemby was playing, you could find a seat eventually, but it was definitely packed like I never saw before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, let's see. When was I there? It wasn't last year, but maybe a couple of years ago. Yeah, there are certain games and certain times when, yeah, it's really hard to find a seat. And man, is that annoying. And then a lot of times you'll find a seat, but then it's like you're not allowed to sit there because you're not like with a team. And they'll have these random little pockets where you're like, they just have ushers who are being jerks. And in fact, that happened to me, but somebody on the team let me sit there anyway. And it was really nice. It was Don Nelson's the youngest Nelson for the Mavericks. You know what? I got to look up his name now. It's been 3 years since it happened, but thank you to you, It's not Donnie Nelson. It was like Donnie Nelson's son. At any rate, thank you to you for letting me do that, because I can remember now, like, the usher was being really mean. There was nowhere to sit, and I got a pretty good seat from that. So nonetheless, I hear you. It's tough. So what was it like in Thomas and Mack, the bigger arena, taking in a game with Wemby starring?
Yeah, I saw both games in its entirety, and to be honest, he doesn't look like a real basketball player. Like, it really looks like you're looking at a video game. I mean, he's just way taller than everybody on the floor, and the fluidity he plays with is just amazing for somebody his size. Even the first game, he didn't play well. He would show some stuff with the handle. He would get up and down the court. He looked like he was lagging a little bit, but he's definitely a player I have never seen before. He's an absolute anomaly.
Sure. I mean, I love the left-handed stuff he was doing. And yes. I just finished a video today. If you haven't seen the video, you got to go watch it. It was released a little bit earlier today, maybe if you were at work or at school or whatever. But there was a left-handed stuff. So, like, he rolls to the basket, takes off from outside the lane, and gets to, like, pretty much the front of the rim with a left-handed scoop, and then gets hammered. Then there was a pass lefty that was really subtle. I don't know if anyone really noticed until I showed it with the slow-mo. He got up in the air on a drive in the middle on a nice, you know, dribble combo move. And then just wrap the ball around the defender with a left-hand pass. It wasn't exactly on target, but it got there. So I'm really, the skill level off the charts from a guy this tall. There isn't a comparison. If Sean Bradley was not this talented, this skilled, who else? KP is not this skilled, although he's similar, but there's no way.
He can't handle low like Wemby, you know. He got all kinds of like junk with his handle. His second jump is really quick with the size. I mean, that's almost an unfair advantage.
You know, the thing I noticed is that sometimes his handle isn't actually clean, but his hands, I guess, are so big that it doesn't matter. Like the contact is sort of not clean, whatever, but within a quarter of a second, his fingers can kind of get around it and get right back in control. So that's never going to be a thing. In fact, there's a nice pull-up he had from mid-range around the right elbow, and he kind of did the pickup was not clean, but the ball, the swish was. Once he kind of gets the hands, because you see a lot of pros miss those shots when they don't get the clean pickup off the dribble, and it happens. This guy is kind of getting messy with it, but still has enough to be able to get it and going and get it off. And then the fact that no defender is going to bother him, no contest of a hand is going to get up high enough, really, I would imagine, to ever bother his jump shot.
Yeah, it's almost like a gift and a curse, because he could get a shot off whenever he wants with the handle and the fluidity into the jump shot. But at times you'd like to see him play closer to the rim, right? And which he did more of that in game two.
It's interesting, yeah, because they really didn't post him up a lot. And so I would imagine that's probably, if there's, you know, we might not be able to glean a lot from what they're going to run offensively from the summer league. In fact, game one looked like to me that they hadn't practiced at all, right? It looked like they had just shown up in the gym. And that might, or at least Victor, maybe that's what happened with him. But they didn't run him in the post that much. I think he had more posts in the second game, to your point.
Yeah,
but they can get really creative with that, because my favorite part is when they throw him down on the post and he gets it, and then he can either kick it or hit a cutter and then fly out to the three-point line. We haven't ever had anybody who can do that before, really, and who can do it consistently. So that's going to be exciting, because a guy guarding, you know, a low post player after the ball gets released from that area, you know, isn't necessarily going to stick to his man if he's going to go fly out from 25 feet away and get a shot. And I got to tell you, Wemby's going to get a lot of open ones like that.
Yeah, I mean, with all his appearances and obligations he had to get done, I don't think he was playing much basketball. So I don't think there was that much practice with this Spurs summer league team. There's not much practice on any summer league team, but I think especially with Wemby, with him just running all over the place, taking photos, doing interviews, there wasn't a lot of that beforehand. And it definitely showed in that first game.
Yeah, he was kind of running around like, I got to screen somebody, but I'm not sure who and where. And, you know, they had one play where they kind of would do a shuffle cut across the lane for him for a low post catch. My favorite stuff, though, is like two guard front, and he's one of the guards, and they just kind of do a handoff and let him get downhill. It did it a few times. And I don't know how you're going to stop that, because it really got to figure out who you want to guard him with, what size player. And that's going to be a thing. And by the way, really quickly, before we get too far in the show, let's shout out some people in the chat. We got hello, Swapnil, and hey, let the lemons drop. What's going on? For best friend of the breakdown, Andrew Zhu has a super chat already going ready for us. I want to get that up on the screen before it gets too late. And don't forget, if you have a question or a comment or whatever you want to talk about, super chat on YouTube is the way to go. And it really helps us keep this show and the lights on. So thank you so much. And Andrew, always great to see you. And here's what he says. And so generous. Thank you very much. He says, and unpopular opinion, Scoot will be the best player in this draft class. That is an unpopular opinion. Did you see Scoot play?
I did, and he's really great. Like, the competitiveness he plays with on both sides of the floor. He's not only super athletic, he's more polished than I even thought. I mean, I watched a good amount of him before this summer league, but, you know, he really plays pick and roll well. He can get you on his hip. He can make decisions. And then that, on top of the athleticism, he has a chance to be a generational player as well, to Andrew's point. Do I think he'll be as good as Wemby? No, I don't. But I think he could be the other generational player in this draft.
Wow. Yeah, I saw a couple highlights. I got to dig in deeper to that. I was too busy with Wembanyama. But, I mean, it's the shoulders, right? The shoulders and his physique. He's so strong, so explosive. Tell me about his jump shot. What did you see from his jump shot?
Yeah, it didn't look too bad. I think when he gets to a point, he was making a few of them in the mid-range, and I've seen him shoot well before. It's not a finished product, but when I think he gets to a point where he'll make you pay for going under, it's curtains for the league, in my opinion.
I'm going to call up his stats real quick from last year. He shot, 27.5%, and he didn't take too many. So he was, attacking the basket in the G League. So, that's going to be a big one, because guys like that, you could give him some space, then dare him to shoot it and take away angles for the drives. Could become a thing until he can get a little bit more proficient from back there.
Yeah, look, and to your point about the frame, you always worry about like a under 6'3 guard in defense in the modern NBA, but this guy is built like a football player, so I don't think he's going to have any problems on the defensive side. And I did see a little bit of improvement on his jump shot from summer league, from what I was seeing in the G League. And even in the G League, he would knock down a shot. It's not like he didn't shoot it like Ben Simmons. He would shoot the basketball, and he's a willing shooter. And it looked pretty good the game I saw. You know, he got injured early, so didn't get to play a lot. But that first game, he knocked down some shots.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to see him and see how that plays out, because, no doubt he's going to get, plenty of opportunities. And, to develop on the fly, and that's going to be exciting, for all everybody there to watch. Brandon Miller caught my eye, though. I feel like there was a little bit of backlash. Maybe his second game wasn't as good as what I saw against Wembanyama, but very polished player. Jump shot looks great. He's got great size, in that Glenn Rice mold, right? Maybe he even reminded me a little bit of that, but Glenn Rice never actually dribbled the ball that well and could put the ball down. Miller certainly can. What did you think about him?
Yeah, the game I saw, he struggled, but I always been a big Brandon Miller guy. His favorite player is Paul George, and I definitely see some of that there. He was like number 20 on a lot of boards before the season, and I didn't understand it from what I was seeing from his high school tape. Then, I was one of the first ones to say that I think he should be in the mix for the number two pick, when that sounded a little bit crazy, and he ended up being the number two pick. I mean, he's 6'8", 6'9", three-level scorer, solid passer, and a good athlete. So how could you really go wrong with a player like that? And I thought he was a better fit next to LaMelo, and I thought when it came to best player available, he was close enough with Scoot to make that call, and the Hornets did make that call.
For sure. Absolutely. I think this is a good pick for them. Obviously all these rookies are going to have ups and downs. I say that in the video about Wemby as well. And you have to remember, the dude's 19 years old and hasn't had a lot of experience anywhere playing. Unlike Luka, for instance, comes in the league at 19, but he had already played EuroLeague, was MVP of EuroLeague in a way that, like, he was a hardened veteran. Wemby is definitely not that, and is going to find some issues. I showed in the video, they have him screening the ball so much, and it makes me really nervous, because when you're screening guards that are 6'6", 2'6", 3", their butt is at your knee, at his knee. And we saw the knee get bent in a not a great angle on one of them as he got too wide on his feet. And I would probably prefer more slipping that screen or just less screens and let him find some space in other ways with handoffs and pin downs to get open that way, because I don't know. I just feel like until he can get a little bit stronger in the base, you're risking a lot of an injury potential.
Yeah, I mean, when a guy's 7'5", that's always a concern, right, Coach Nick? But I did see him always working on his body. It was kind of weird. He's a very interesting character. Like, he's doing activation drills in the middle of the game. Whenever he gets off the bench, he brings a coach in and does some more activation stuff. It feels like he's always working on himself in a really unique and interesting way.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to get a chance to go see a workout with him this summer before the season starts. I'm dying to see what they're doing with him because, again, the skill level he has is already, if he wasn't 7'4", or 7'5", if he was 6'7", it would be amazing. Like, really, really good.
Solid
for that age. And I definitely want to find out what they're doing. He gave us a one-legged three at the very end of the game.
I loved it. It was in a close game, too. You know I love the one-legged three. I've posted them on social. You actually posted yours on social lately. Great energy transfer. No hitch in that jump shot, Coach.
Oh, yeah. And it's just I don't have to even, you know, I just barely have to flick it, and it gets right to the rim. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a thing, and probably Wemby's going to bring it. If anybody is going to, he'll shoot more of them. Hopefully he'll shoot – you know, one every other game or whatever it is, and make it more commonplace. And other guys are going to find out how easy that shot is, especially from 25, which is a long distance. I mean, the one I made, and by the way, I think it was like the second one I took. It wasn't the first, but I didn't have to do too many to film to get it to go in. But I did it, you know, 19-9. So, but I got to start getting farther back too, because it isn't that much harder once you get going downhill.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We have another super chat. Let's get to that one. James Connor, thank you so much. Extremely generous. Thank you. Thank you, James. Or Jamie. I think it's probably James. How can Harden average almost a rare 20-10 for two consecutive seasons, which makes him responsible for a minimum of 40 points, and a general narrative around his name is that he is washed up? That's a good question. You want to answer this one?
I don't hear people saying he's washed up, really. Do you, Coach Nick?
The only thing I hear is people think that he's slower. He's not as explosive as he used to.
I mean, that is the truth. He's a different player. He's more of a point guard now. The feet don't move quite as quick, but he makes the right pass often. He plays more of a point guard role now, floor general, not an ISO scorer with this whole analytic system built around you when it came to Morey ball. He's kind of in a different system now with Joel playing in the mid post, but I don't think he's washed up at all. He's definitely different and not as fast and not as explosive, but I wouldn't say he's washed up. And if Jame, what are we going
to do? I'm with Jame, but it could be Jamie.
Okay. Well, Jame, if you hear somebody say he's washed up, tell them Combo said they're wrong.
Right. I mean, go watch the video I just did on him. Is James Harden even worth it? You released it on the 5th last week. And I broke down exactly what's going on. And, you know, part of the reason why he got a lot of crap is for, you know, he didn't show up in game 6 and 7, quote unquote, when in reality, like, the low field goal attempts were primarily because the defense was loading up on him every chance he got the ball and trying to drive. So he made the right play, and he opened up a lot of shots for a lot of his teammates. They didn't hit very many of them. And that was it. But other than that, I mean, he runs the offense as well as any guard you're going to find.
Yes.
And he will still ISO and still be able to create shots on his own as well. You know, it's interesting because does he fit in well with Embiid, for instance? I mean, I always felt like he should have gone to Milwaukee instead of Brooklyn in the beginning a couple of years ago. For some reason, in my mind's eye, he fits a lot better with a Giannis than he does with Embiid, and probably for a lot of reasons, even personality-wise. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's been really quiet. It's been amazing. You would have thought maybe they would have had a deal going for him already with him already, but so far, no dominoes have fallen.
I see what you're saying, because I think Embiid and Harden both need the basketball, and even though Giannis is not a role player, he plays around a star player really well. Like, he doesn't need the basketball. He'll get the garbage baskets. He'll score on his own in transition. It's not like an Embiid who's sizing up the defense in the mid post while Harden has to continually size up the defense outside on the 3-point area. So yeah, I do think that's a better fit for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and if you throw it to Embiid, you're not going to see it back. You're just going to stand there and watch. And I listen, you can't blame him. He scores on almost all those possessions when they do that. So that's okay. But if you know, if you're another superstar looking for rhythm and touches and whatever, and it's that in the play call goes to him, forget about it. You're going to be, you know, get a little bit of a break. And perhaps Harden doesn't mind that either, but it will affect those numbers that people want to point to, you know, off the bat, you know, as evidence of like some washed up notion or whatever, but it really is just the function of the team. We have another super chat here. Let's get to, and thank you again, Jamie, Alan Tran. Thank you so much. Here's a good question or the comment is Wemby is better as an ISO post-up guy, less pick and rolls, pops, more feeds in the post and fast breaks. Tim and Robinson are the perfect mentors. You know, I'm not so sure. ISO post-up guy, I don't think is really where I see him either, you know, honestly. The post-up is it's easy to knock him off of his position with a little bit of an arm bar to the waist. And certainly leverage-wise, guys who are shorter than him can kind of get underneath a little bit more and cause some imbalances. So I'm not sure I would want to see him ISO post-up right now, short of like face-up, you know, ISOs in the mid-post. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think the ISO post-up game is part of the modern NBA anymore. I don't think that's really the way the game is played. But I would say, you know, you were talking about him getting downhill. I think it would benefit him if there's a way he could get downhill and turn his back at times and maybe get to that jump hook and work on those kind of movements, because I think he could be dominant in that regard.
Well, here's the funny thing. You know who he should study then? He should study Brunson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jalen Brunson, arguably the best post-up player we have in the NBA, and he's not even 6 feet tall, probably.
And right. And it's not like somebody's throwing down an entry pass. He's initiating.
He turns his drives into post-ups. And I think that's a great way to view that as well. So I love that. Maybe we can even do a video where we can kind of mesh those two things together. And then we got to get a picture of Wemby next to Jalen Brunson, because that would be insane. As a lot of those pictures coming out of Summer League were, right? It was just insane, because you know those guys are 6'2", 6'3", and they look like a little kid next to him. It was, you know, there's one where he's trying to shake the referee's hand, and it was like he's literally looking down like the kid is a five-year-old. It's crazy.
Yeah, all eyes are on Wemby, and it's not only his game. It's just the way he looks. He just sticks out like a sore thumb, man. He's just so much taller than everybody else on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, the movement pattern and the movement, the mechanics are very, very sound in a way that if he can just fix the getting bent over too much and the nose go in front of the toes, which is a young player's issue. Usually that gets ironed out before they get to the NBA. But, you know, especially the guy that tall, when he bends over like 90 degrees almost on the dribble, that he's just his head pulls him down. And somebody had once told me, who's a biomechanics guy, that when you get your nose in front of your toes, it's that your head is the equivalent of like 30-pound weight pulling you forward down to the ground, which is why it's so important to have, you know, flexible hips and keep that nose behind your toes so you can keep your on your feet. Because clearly the issue we're going to see is him falling a lot. He fell a lot on the ground. A couple times were pretty, you know, heavy crashes. I detected a few times where he almost just about rolled his ankle a few times. And that's another issue that, you know, obviously we're going to be scared about with a feet that big. And, you know, they got to clean a lot of that stuff up.
Yeah. And as a shooter, you always want to have great posture because you don't want to have to move the basketball around your body. As a ball handler, you always want great posture so you could, you know, see the floor and be balanced and get into your shot when you want. So you're absolutely right. It's always hips down, chest up for me. So I love that.
And, you know, and you know, his ceiling is like in the KD mold as far as I feel in terms of how he's going to attack. They did let him get a couple ball screens. That was exciting. But I wanted to see more of that because, again, that makes it very difficult to figure out how the heck you want to guard him. And on the defensive end, though, he plays like a guard. He navigates around screens and he's quick and he can move. So what I found fascinating is they started the game against Portland, I believe it was, or it could have been Charlotte, where he's guarding like a forward out of the corner. They do a handoff and he switches onto the guard. Then they screen, which is a very normal, you know, action in every NBA team's offense. And now he switches onto the center. So it's almost like it completely stymied the entire possession. They could not find any way to get an advantage. And that's the thing that's going to give them a huge advantage. And the only question here is whether or not they want to, you know, put a traditional center next to him or not. I suppose, I don't know. Do we have a sense of what that's going to look like when they get to the regular season?
Yeah, I don't know what Pop's exactly going to do, but I would say also, like, I think the thing that'll be different between him and KD or him and anybody else, he's probably going to be the most elite guy at picking up the garbage than ever before because of his size and his second jump. I think he's actually going to be a better rebounder than KD because of the length and his ability on that second jump. So,
and they signed Poeltl, the Raptors kept him. I read that they signed the Spurs signed Poeltl. So the question here is, like, do they have another center they didn't want to start alongside him? I would probably think that maybe Pop they would, and then go to the five man lineup or him at center. Often, and really cause problems, because obviously that's where he can cause the most issues, because the other team is really going to have to figure that out, because you can't really go small against him, right? I mean, you could try that, and that might end, but in theory, he'll bring those guys down though, and he should be able to find some success, even though he tried posting up Brandon Miller, for instance, did not go very well on one of those post ups. So, but part of it to me is that he needs to develop, as skilled as he is in the perimeter facing the basket, that one, he just tried to bully the guy down low. That's not post up. I want to see some clever footwork, some shot fakes, some spins, some of those kind of things. He did have one though,
I know exactly what you're talking about. He showed a lot of patience in the post on that shot. That was the second game.
Yeah. Was that patience more than 3 seconds?
Well, I heard that you're more familiar with the rules than me, but I heard that if you're making your way towards the rim and then you shoot it, it's not 3 seconds. You have to pass it out first, right?
I was talking to Chip about that because to me, I always thought it was like on the shot release is when the 3 seconds stops being counted. But he indicated to me, I got to go through that text again, that there is some notion that it's as you begin the move that's three. And then, let's just say you kind of begin the move, start going, then you bring it back down and you shot fake, you don't shoot it. And then there's the 3 seconds, and it might have been 5 seconds, but they gave you the opportunity to get that shot off. Didn't come, and then they call it like a delayed, penalty in football or something. So I you're right. I think it has something to do with like going up into it, but it was close nonetheless. It was patient, and I like to see him what he did. And plus, it just the move itself as he spun back around like on up and under step through spin, beautiful touch. Didn't shoot that from that close off the glass. So really just an impressive kid all around. He even had another one, an and one lefty finish that was just another amazing one in transition. The rim runs are going to be fascinating because, as I pointed out in the video, the guy that's back as a safety in the offense is generally a guard. So if he leaks out or he gets out quickly, it's going to be a little guard who has to pick him up and stop him. And on a rim run, you don't have to even get accurate with your pass. Just throw it anywhere in the general vicinity. He's going to grab it and dunk it.
He has two apparent weaknesses, and I don't know if you see more coaching. I guess you talked about it a little bit here on this show already, but, it's obviously the strength and it's the shooting. And outside of that, I mean, he's pretty well-rounded. So he's 19 years old. He's going to get stronger, and he shows good touch. So I think he'll become a better shooter. There's some things on the free throw line I like to see him do differently. He doesn't really load the wrist on the free throw line. I like to see him do that, but he has really nice touch, and the guy is going to get stronger. He's 19, as I said. Yeah. So he's going to be, I think, a general player, a generational player, in my opinion.
I agree. And so I think the thing with the issue with the 3-point shooting, because the form looks really, really good. Rarely do you see a guy above 7 feet shoot with a lot of arc. Yeah. This guy, he's hitting 50 degrees easy on some of these shots. And he has a bit of a soft touch. He missed one. I think he airballed one. He was way off on another because of that first game, and he just didn't look like calibrated. But another one where he missed it, hit the front of the rim real soft, hit the backboard, stayed near the rim. But I think he's going to have to lower that. I think it's too high for right now. I think it's not easy to be consistent at 50, 51. You got to get, for him, I think it needs to be closer to 42, 43. I'll take 45. So that shouldn't be too hard of a calibration. He seems skilled enough where he could be able to adjust that by 1 or 2 degrees. That's a sign of a good shooter when they can do that. So I think he'd get more control, and there's no reason to have it shoot it that much higher anyway. His release point is higher than anyone's going to be able to get to on a contest. So I think that's going to be another big one for him too. So I would expect that to eventually air itself out. They'll probably have more data as he's shooting, and they'll start to realize that the ones that go in, I think, will be lower, or at the very least, they'll just say, listen, you're consistently at 50, 51 degrees on the arc, and it's just too high. You're shooting under 30%, which is what he was seeing for most of his career so far. Andrew Zhu, another super chat. Thank you so much, Andrew. Impressive second-year summer league players. Jabari Smith looked impressive. Go ahead. Who else did you see that for second-year players combo?
No, that's it. That's the name. From what I saw, he was MVP of summer league. I haven't seen a player improve from one summer to another quite like Jabari. The confidence, the handle, the creation. We even saw point Jabari. Kudos to him. From what I saw in summer league, and I know I was only there 3 days, he was MVP of summer league. He was absolutely outstanding.
All right. You know, I saw James Wiseman was playing.
Yeah.
Look at his numbers here. I'm trying to find him real quick. Did you see the Pistons play?
Yeah. I mean, James Wiseman has great tools. The thing when it comes to him is like, how is he going to play in a team construct? Because I feel like at times he doesn't really play with his teammates. And Ivy was actually doing that a little bit as well. I think both, they actually got a win without those two today. And I thought the vibes and the flow was better. I mean, Ivy and him are talented. They're less talented without them too, but it was nice to see Ashar get some more reps and some of the other younger players get some more reps. I feel like those two have to do a better job of playing with their teammates.
Okay. It's good, good, good. Well, you know, tell us a bit more about Summer League. What, any other things interesting that happened to you while you were there?
I mean, I went to a bunch of events. I recorded two podcasts. I saw a lot of Friends of the Breakdown, Friends of Combos Court, old friends, made some new friends. So Summer League is always a good vibe.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, I love being able to just kind of bounce back and forth. You see people, you talk to people. It's a great networking opportunity. You know, you never know who you're going to run into on the concourse, basketball-wise, too. You know, players, coaches, GMs, the whole thing, they're around. Yeah. And, you know, if you have enough gumption, you can you can even have a conversation with whoever might walk by. Yeah. Andrew is just, you know, he's all about the vibes today, man. Thank you so much. You have another super chat. Really, really, I can't believe how generous you are tonight. USA going to have to play a Wemby Gobert pairing. Yeah, that would be interesting to see if they play together. can you imagine that?
USA? Oh, okay. Against France. I see what he's saying. Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. I wonder how that offense will look. I guess they fit pretty well, right?
I mean, right, because Wemby will really then play away from the basket, which he can do. You know, the real key here is if he can just get a little bit better on the three-point shooting to cause more spacing, then they should be in good shape. And I just it feels like he will. I mean, if the one thing you can count on from NBA players as they age is that the three-point shooting tends to go up. They get better at it. They get more comfortable. They figure it out more. So that's going to be a big one for him. And I think that once he can – He comfortably plays out there that way, and he can drive and he can catch the ball on the wing. I don't see an issue. I don't know how you're not going to score. How are you going to score near the rim?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're definitely going to have to beat them from outside, I would say. But, I mean, that doesn't guarantee anything for France, right? I'm just them having those two. We'll see what develops. It'll definitely be interesting because Wemby's even taller than Gobert. So.
Oh, I know. Crazy. Yeah. It's funny. I was watching Aaron Holiday work out the other day. We're the same height. And I said, how do you even get your shot off? How do you, because I played a little bit against guys like that, like in the summers in college against the Wisconsin team. And I would rarely venture into the lane because of that. I was going to stay outside. He insisted he could see the rim a lot of the time, but I was like, okay, because it seems like you're letting it go, and the guy's hands up, like you don't know where the rim is. I mean, you know where the rim is, but you can't see it. But it's always been really impressive for those guys at that height to be able to do that. Lowry is another one who comes to mind who can do that. But I got to tell you, it was a real pleasure watching like an elite shooter, which he is, just run through his shooting drill. It was really impressive.
Three holidays in the NBA. That's impressive in its own right, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How many families have three brothers in the league? How often has that happened?
That's a really good question. I don't know if anybody else has done that. And certainly – and plus
– Oh, obviously Giannis, right? When the younger
– Who's the third, though?
Yeah, he plays the two-way for the Lakers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Kind of. Yeah. You know, yeah. And Aaron deserves a shot. I hope he can kind of find a more of a solidified rotation into going into this year because he's good. It's funny. It's always that kind of guard who teams will dismiss and don't think that they can do much and always trying to replace. And then you realize, you know what? This kid can make a lot of plays. Seth Curry is like that. You remember Armstrong? I'm forgetting what Armstrong.
Daryl
Armstrong. His whole career was like that. The beginning they wouldn't play, and they have somebody else who's bigger and better, or whatever. And then he comes in, a quarter way through the season, and just kills everybody, and then ends up being the starter and plays all the minutes. But like, it just every year he go through that seemed like where they never wanted to commit to him. And those guys can still have a really big impact. As we see, I think that Seth got signed by the Mavericks again. They realized, you know what, we need him back because he did really a lot of good stuff for us when he was there.
Didn't Isaiah Thomas almost win an MVP like that? I'm talking about Celtics Isaiah Thomas.
You mean Pistons Isaiah Thomas?
No.
Oh, Celtics Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Pistons Isaiah Thomas is a whole different level. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about
he was in the MVP conversation too.
Yeah, no, Celtics.
Yeah, and I will give Isaiah, he's a legit 6'2", probably.
No, wait. Which Isaiah are you talking about?
I'm sorry. The original Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. No, yes, he's
yeah. But the no, I listen, the newer Isaiah Thomas, I'm taller than him. I have an interview with him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In fact, I think I even said, here's the one NBA player I could post up. And he was like, yeah, you couldn't post me up. Yeah, you're probably right. So at any rate, I wouldn't want to know what happens. Because you know what happens? It's those small guards, when you try and post them up, they're like wildcats down there. It's they will not want anyone to post them up. And they fight what's a wildcat? Tasmanian devil. They're down there going crazy to make sure they don't give up any.
Yeah. Especially if it's pickup and they can't find it.
And Alan, let's put Alan up here because he makes a good point. We got Brent, John, and Drew Barry, the Barry brothers. That's probably the other one. I mean, I know that there was a twin brothers. Well, we have
Caleb and his brother.
Yeah, there's the Martins. And then there's back in the 70s with the Phoenix, there were twin brothers.
Morris brothers.
The Morris brothers. So we've had brothers like that, but not the original one were the Van.
Horace Harvey.
God darn it all. You know what? I'm worried about my brain. Maybe I'm not sleeping well enough. But Suns, guards, twin brothers, Van something or other. Let me see if I'm close. Here they are. Oh, Van Arsdale. I was close. Dick Van Arsdale and Tom Van Arsdale. Pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
Murray twins. Who are the Murray twins? Murray? Oh, well, there's the Thompson twins. That's exciting. Are they twins, Amen and Osser? Are they twins?
Yes, they're twins.
Okay. Now, did you watch Osser? How do you say his name?
Osor.
Osor?
Yes. The thing with him was that game I saw is he wasn't getting enough reps, but he looked really good when he did have the ball because, Ivy and Wiseman were trying to do everything. And he was playing really well. You could see the feel and the athleticism. But it was almost like he was like that fourth guy or something, that he wasn't just getting the basketball. And I felt like they should have featured him more, which they did in this game right here. He played really well. They actually won. So,
okay. Yeah, I think
the Raptors
there with him. I when I did the draft stuff, I looked more at Amen
Thompson. Yeah. Here's my thing with those two. I think they're going to both be really good. I do not think they're in the best of situations, though, because Amen is going to, they got Fred now, who plays the same position, actually, even though Amen's a lot taller. Dylan Brooks is there. They got Jabari. They got Şengün, who could play point center. Jalen Green, who's another guard. I don't even know if he starts. And usually on a rebuilding team, when you're a top five guy, you start. I don't even think they're a rebuilding team anymore because they became really interesting. So,
Almost was a place where, he's going to get an opportunity. Now, the one thing about Van Vliet, he doesn't normally play more than about 60-some games in a year. So there might be some opportunities there just from either load management or, God forbid, injury, where he could get that and stuff like that. So we'll see. Or, I'm just assuming that, actually it's going to be an interesting question. Does the season kind of, go along, they have a little ups and downs, and then ultimately they realize, we're going to shut these the veterans down, get another draft pick, whatever they're going to do, it's the last 20 games, let's let the rookies go. So maybe we have to wait till then for that. But I don't know. It's interesting because they've done enough things here to sort of solidify their roster to maybe not be that way. But, again, the West is a bloodbath, as it always is, as, we saw with the Nuggets only able to win 52 games, whatever it was.
Yeah, and you know, you really like Cam Whitmore pre-draft. I watched him play in summer league. I think he's a sleeper for rookie of the year. He has the frame. He has the athleticism. The only thing I'd like to see him do better is make quicker decisions. I think he needs to like pass it, shoot it, drive it. He gets a lot into like this ISO jab step stuff, which I don't really like, but he knocks them down out of them. I just, it's not my favorite way to watch a basketball player play, but I mean, he is a super twitchy athlete on both sides of the floor, and he's ready from a frame standpoint and a game standpoint.
Well, by the way, speaking of second year players who were doing well, is Julian Champagny.
I always liked him.
Wembanyama. Caught my eye a number of times.
Yeah, St. John's. He's always been a bucket, that guy. That guy could score.
Yeah, and you can just tell, like, he played in the league, I mean, very sparsely last year, but you can always tell the guys, they come into summer league the next year, and they're just more poised, and they're more aggressive. They just seem stronger, and all those things. I mean, it wasn't perfect. There were moments, but, like, he had a lot of really, really nice plays and definitely seemed a cut above anybody else on that court. So we'll see if that's another one that can kind of make any noise. That's one of those things where there's no indication. I can look at Wembanyama and we can kind of dissect what he's doing in the summer league and make some informed opinions. Champagne is a little bit harder only because of that position and his body type and whatever. He might never get off the bench this year, but I liked what I saw. He caught my eye in a lot of different reasons, passing, running the offense. And by the way, does he have a brother too?
Yes. He does.
He's a player. I mean,
the thing with him though, he's just like a hooper. Like, what position is he going to play? How does he fit around another star player? Has always been the question with him. And then the defense, another question with him. But the guy could play basketball, and the guy's going to get buckets no matter where you put him. It's just like, what's his NBA niche?
Yeah. So, and then Justin Champagne is his. If he and his twin, they're born the same day. So go figure that one. I don't know how that works, but I go. They must be twins. We have another super chat. Thank you so much from Mangoes and Trees. Does the NBA copyright your breakdown videos? If so, what's the outcome generally? Love the content. Oh, okay. Somebody wants to get a little behind the curtains here. I don't know. Do we discuss this kind of stuff on the show or not? I don't know.
Up to you, Coach Nick.
I mean, whatever. I don't often monetize those videos from the NBA standpoint, if that's the question. They're pretty good these days. They might not have, at some point it was a lot better, before COVID, but, I make some good money for the NBA. So, good. If they want to send me a thank you note, that'd be nice, or something, a little plaque. I don't know, but, but again, the NBA is also like the most forward thinking league in terms of, understanding the value of their content out there and being shared. Way better than the NFL and Major League Baseball, who are slowly kind of come around to it. So I'm lucky that this is the league and this is the sport that I knew well to be able to do this, because they understood it and they like what I do. And it's, I have no issues with that. And it's the cost of doing business. But but not a big deal. It doesn't really affect me either way, other than, they get to keep that money. And that's fine.
The whole landscape of sports media, especially basketball media, is changing, right? We're seeing it from all angles, so it's going to be interesting to see where all this all goes.
Yep. Well, thank you, Mangoes and Trees. Good question. My son, having never played any sport at all, suddenly likes football and is playing flag football.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's 15. He's playing like I think the league is supposed to stop at 14. But we're like, listen, he's never played. He's not a ringer. He's just a kid who wants to learn how to play. So he's playing. He's like much taller than almost everybody else. But at some point in the next like few minutes, I got to get back out there. He wants to throw the football. I got to go over how to run. You know, it's a big failing, by the way, across the United States in kindergartens to start with, teaching kids how to run properly. And, part of it is a kid needs to want to learn. I've been trying for all this time to help him, and he's much more bookish than he was an athlete. But you know what? He's fast. And and it's funny because now they're doing all the things in the warm-ups of these of the drills and whatever. It's the things I've been trying to do with him for 10 years. And it's great to see it. So maybe we can do some of that stuff. Because you know what? Everybody has there's always a little form in there we could fix, right? Even NBA players you see might be able to tweak their form so they're running a little bit more efficiently.
What kind of exercises that he's doing now that you were trying to do with him for a long time?
all sorts of single leg balancing is good stuff. You know, even just like the focusing on keeping the arms in the vertical plane, you know, instead of, you know, a lot of kids want to run like this, you know, and they cross their arms across and they waste all this extra energy. So you want to be able to keep your, you know, this way. You know, getting the knees up and any kind of, you know, drills where you're getting your knees up and kicking, you know, all those things that they do. And they do the one where you're running and you try and tap your ankles as you're running behind you, you know, almost kicking you, kicking yourself in the butt. All that kind of stuff, you know, activating their toes, and your ankles and your, calf muscles as you're pushing off, all those things to just make you more efficient and quicker, and explosive. So, you know, those are the things that, that, you know, and by the way, even at 15, like you're going to see, I'm going to try and film some of this stuff. Cause I know that at that age, within 2 weeks, right, you can see just an incredible difference. And by the way, in fact, we've been going to the gym every other day. This is haven't worked out and lifted weights for years. And all of a sudden, you know, for like the last 2 weeks, every other day we're hell bent on going. And I'm even seeing after 2 weeks, like I'm increasing weight now. I'm able to do more. It's crazy.
That's great. Yeah. Resistance training is really important for kids, and it's important for adults as well as they get older. It's the greatest way to keep bone density. Age. Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for a ripped Coach Nick coming up. Maybe another like month or two, and I think we'll be able to, you know, go out of the beach with the shirt off.
Nice.
Looking very forward to it. All right, we got a couple more questions if we wrap this up. Martin Jose Martin, best friend of the breakdown. Thank you. Great to see you. Thoughts on Grizzlies offseason moves? Oh my goodness gracious.
Derek Rose. I guess he'll be a mentor.
Yeah, that's kind of a wasted thing. Marcus Smart. I did the video, so I think we already saw that. They lost who went to Houston, Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, they did.
But that might be okay. It was time for him to go. But you know, the guy they really need to get back, and it's not a move, is one of my favorites from Gonzaga. The big guy. Help me.
Oh, the Australian.
No, he's not Australian.
Yes, he is.
He is? Clark?
Oh, no. I was thinking about something else.
Okay. Brandon Clark was key. They needed him so badly this past year.
They did re-sign Bane.
Right. That's a must. They needed him. You can't lose him for anything. So that was really good. And I think that they're ready to go. You know, and Marcus Smart, okay, you know, without Ja for 25 games, that'll be something that'll be useful. You know, we secretly replaced Dylan Brooks with Marcus Smart. We'll see. I mean, he'll maintain that edge that they want to have as well. And so, I think they did fine. But I'm telling you, the Brandon Clark is gonna be a big difference for them. Were there any other moves they did? What else did they do? They lost Tyus Jones. I'm telling you, man, teams continually make that mistake. They don't value how good that guy is. He was so good for them and fit in so well that Brandon Clark is Canadian. Right. He's not. So who are you thinking was Australian or somebody else?
Steven Adams.
Oh, and Steven Adams is going to come back.
Yeah.
So they're ready to go. They could contend for the conference finals, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good teams in the West. So, they can. But look, you got Denver. The Lakers might be better next year. We even got teams like OKC, Chet coming back. The Warriors could be formidable, obviously. Minnesota got Anthony Edwards. He could take a leap. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of teams. I think the Rockets aren't going to be a contender or anything, but they're going to be better.
Yeah, they're not going to be. You're not going to roll over. Did you mention the Kings?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. So, it's rough. I mean, I'm telling you, to win the West, the number one seed is probably you probably won't be able to win more than about 52, 53 games. I know that we talked about this before, the Nuggets took the last, 15 or 12 games off and lost a bunch of those they wouldn't have. But
we didn't even mention the Suns, Coach Nick.
Oh, and the Suns. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be an accident, or I don't think it's going to be intentional now going forward. I would think you the most you're going to be able to win is 52, 53 games tops. And still be able to win a finals, relatively easily. So that's where they are in the West. It's brutal. But it's good to see. OKC is going to be another team, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned them.
That's not
an easy out night.
Chet will be back with them. That kid, Jay. I mean, we all know SGA, right, and Josh Giddey. But Jay Williams is really good. He's going to be a second-year player. Like, he played in the California Classic, and it he looked way too good for summer league. I think he has like some future all-star potential because he's a two-way player who's really skilled on both sides. So they're going to be really good. They're going to be good.
And I hope no one's seen Chet. Did you see Chet walking around?
I didn't actually see, you know, there's 30 teams. So I didn't see Chet walking around.
Okay. Yeah, that's one team I did not. I want to see if he's filled out a little bit by now.
Well, he did. I mean, they got the pictures, right? And the stats to prove it.
I haven't seen Chet, you know, I haven't seen anything recently. I want to see, you know, you have?
Yeah, I mean, he played in the California Classic. I watched the game.
Oh, he did? Oh, crap. I missed that one.
He played well. He played well. He started a little slow in the first game, but his feel for the game is really good. And his rim protection is, you know, he's not as big as Wemby, but he's just as good of a rim protector. Like, the way he goes up with two and protects the rim.
No, listen, the only problem I had with him is I like his game is the movement pattern to me always made me worried about it getting injured. And I know that one injury he had was kind of a freaky thing. But so far that fear has been borne out. I don't have that same fear with Wemby. I, you know, just the way he moves is different. And I wish I could tell you exactly why, but either way, we have another super chat. This is like unprecedented from Andrew. Thank you so much. He's very generous today. I hope we can afford all this, I guess is what I'm saying. Thank you very much. But there's no good matchup for slowing Jokic in the NBA right now. Could Wemby become that? I mean, there's no hope for Wemby down low against Jokic, is there?
I mean, the thing about Jokic is he doesn't play against the person guarding him. He plays against the game of basketball. He's just so smart, makes everybody around him better. He's not really playing one-on-one with anybody. But Wemby could be a difference maker, but it's going to take like – he might be an all-star by year three, to be honest, but it is going to take him a couple years.
Yeah. I mean, I can picture like, okay, Jokic just doing a little turnaround thinking he's not really there. And by releasing a jump hook, Wemby could block that one, right? He can kind of give him a little space and then actually block it. But then I would imagine Jokic would then just pin him under the basket. You know, he'd get lower and lower toward the basket. And then there's no way he could stop that. So that would be what I would think. And then at some point, yeah, Wemby gets strong enough with his base. Doesn't have to look like Jokic, but stronger, that he couldn't simply just back him down. But there's always that leverage issue, right? There's no, when you're smaller by that, and let's see, Jokic would be 6 inches shorter than him probably. There's a leverage where you can get up and underneath him if he can't get low enough, I suppose, to try and hold him off and still maintain, you know, a strong base. It's going to be very challenging, but I think we're going to get the kind of highlight. We're going to get amazing highlights that we haven't seen before from a rookie when Wemby's out there. We'll also see the rookie plays, falling down, turnovers, gripped, that kind of stuff, air balls. We'll see all sorts of stuff, crazy stuff from him too. But I think the key here is that the highlights we're going to see are going to be just the ceiling's going to be a lot higher than almost every other rookie we've seen ever.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of crazy stuff for sure. Some great
highlights. All right. Well, I think we've seen a lot of crazy stuff so far. Maybe we should end on that. You know, anything else we got to plug before we go?
Listen to Combos Court. I just did a quick pod about what I saw in Summer League. And then subscribe to this channel if you're not subscribed already. B-Ball Breakdown.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? You join the masses. And stay tuned. I'm going to release a video, I think, on that defense I invented very soon. And I got interviews with Franz Wagner and Zubats. I got to get out. I got those a while ago. I have to get those out. And I'm going to have some EuroLeague stuff coming out really soon. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, I've been watching some Micić.
Micić, I'm going to do is the second one. The first one's going to be, Fisenko. Fisenko? Yeah.
The Kings.
He's coming over to the Kings. Micić is coming to OKC. Another reason why OKC is going to, you know, probably be much more solid
He fits them really well.
Yeah.
He really does. Like, he brings something that they don't have with the shooting, you know, and the pick and roll play. And yeah, they're going to be good, man. They're going to be really good.
I just went through a whole bunch of ATOs from OKC.
I really think and the coach has done a great job, but I really think he's going to, if he could figure it out with this team, because they have a lot, like just the right mix of guys and what kind of offense they'll run and defense they'll run, they could be really interesting.
And by the way, you can tell a lot from ATOs because how the execution is, what they run, how complicated or how creative it could be. And there are moments when it's interesting. Oh, I like that. But there were way more moments of just like a mess. They didn't, you know, guys aren't on the right spots. They're not executing it right. So there needs to be at some point this year and now some more accountability. And once and for all, you know, get these guys on the right page, make them understand how to set those screens properly, the angles, the timing, all that stuff. This is it. This is Degnault's, you know, chance to really show what he can do there. And if they do that, then I think that'll be a good symbol for them having success. If like if they're taking care of those little details there, the rest will fall in place and they'll win a lot more games.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right. Well, thank you, Combo, for being here. Thank you all for every out there. Andrew Zhu, you are just the master and amazing with all of your super chats, plus everybody else out there doing super chats, from James to Alan to Mangoes and Trees to Martin. All of you, everybody, we love you. We thank you so much for being part of the show, as always. We'll be back again next week, won't we?
Yes, we will.
All right, so keep your ears and eyes open and your notification gang going. And don't forget, sports fans, at Beatball Breakdown, we're not a channel, we're a conversation. You in?